بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. There is no question that we are living in an increasingly connected world. So way back in the days, I'm talking back a few hundred years or more even, when they didn't even have newspapers every day, they used to have news books, and I learned this in my history of journalism class some years ago. So they used to have news books where they would actually chronicle and compile all the various news events and then publish these books. And then people would buy these books months later, perhaps, to read about news events that had already occurred. Then with the advent of the printing press, the newspapers, or the news magazines rather, started coming out perhaps once a week. And that's how people started getting their news. And then they started getting the daily newspapers. And when people wanted to communicate with one another, of course they didn't FaceTime. They wrote letters, there were messengers who took these letters and so on. Then we had the advent of the broadcast media, of radio and then television, and then a lot more people started getting their information that way. Now we have satellite dishes, of course, so you could be sitting here in your living room in Kingston watching programming from back home, feeling almost as if you haven't even left whatever you consider to be back home. And then we have, of course, social media as well, where people are constantly getting updates on their phones, on their news feeds, on Facebook, on Twitter, and so on. So the potential impact of news and the effect it can have has increased tremendously. So things can go viral very quickly. You can have a piece of news that you post, a video, a clip, a picture, something, and people start sharing it almost instantly, and it can quickly spread around the world. Now, one thing we must remember is that every time we share something, whether it's online or over the phone, a piece of information, some news, something we have heard, something we have come across, we are a part of that process. We are part of the process of broadcasting and spreading that piece of information. And it may appear to be small. It may appear to be something very small. So I find out something, somebody tells me, I witness something, I read something online, I read an article, I tell one person, I tell two people, I share it on my wall. It may appear to be very small, but we are actually playing a crucial role in spreading that news and information. Because that's what everyone does, right? So everyone does it in their own small little way, but that's how the word then spreads. Now we must understand that the spreading of news and information comes with serious responsibility. The spreading of news and information comes with serious responsibility, and especially for the believers, since the believer is not one who causes harm to others. Because the believer is not the one who causes harm to others. The believer is careful about his or her actions and the effect of those actions on other people. Now, the news media also says, and it also behaves as if it is concerned about these things, about potential harms and not hurting people and so on. But normally that's only to protect itself from lawsuits and prosecution for libel, for example. So when we are reporting on somebody who's been arrested, for example, reporters will be very careful, editors will be very careful to ensure that it says that the crime allegedly happened. And such a person has allegedly been arrested for this and that, right? So these small words, qualifiers, are put in just to ensure that they're protected from lawsuits and from libel, because they're not allowed to publish something which is factually incorrect about someone and which demeans someone or hurts someone in some way. So those types of words will be used. But the effect of false news, the effect of an incorrect piece of information, incorrect news story, even if it's technically legal, can be devastating. So for example, if someone is wrongfully arrested for a crime, So let's say, you know, you happen to be driving down the street and the police are looking for someone, and your car matches their description, and you sort of match the description as well, and you get arrested. You get arrested, and somehow, you know, your photo gets taken, it gets published in the newspaper, and says such and such person was arrested for this crime, even though you're innocent, and it happens. Or someone has made an accusation, and that person was innocent. So the news is there, the picture is there in the newspaper, on the evening newscast, but that person is innocent. And a few days later, they might say, oh, well, yeah, we had the wrong person, it was a case of mistaken identity, or the accusations were false, so on and so forth. But the damage has been done to that person's reputation. Sometimes people lose their jobs, especially in, you know, certain professions such as teaching. So teachers get accused sometimes falsely, and then they end up suffering for that. So the reputation is damaged, and that's just one example. But the spreading of news and information can sometimes be harmful to others. So I've just given you one example, but there's many other instances where it can be harmful. Now the believer is genuinely concerned about the well-being of others. As believers, we are to be genuinely concerned for the well-being of others, and especially about the rights of others. Right? So that's something we have to be very careful about, because the rights of individuals, of other people, is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about. So did we infringe upon the rights of others? Did we respect the rights of others? Did we allow people to exercise their rights? And we don't want, the believer doesn't want to wrong anyone, even in the slightest way. Because these things will, in our belief, we know, we understand, we believe that these complaints against us can pile up on the Day of Judgment, and we can end up being losers in a big way. So we don't want that to happen. So therefore, we are very careful about this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So the believer must be concerned when passing on information. As believers, we must be concerned when we pass on information, when we share news, when we formulate an opinion which can direct our future actions, our future decisions, that can influence our future decisions. We must be very careful about this, because this is not something which is minor. Harith ibn al-Irad was the father of Juwayriyah radiallahu anha. He's one of the wives of the Blessed Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he came and he accepted Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he pledged to pay zakat. Now he was the leader of his tribe, of the Banu Mustalib. So he promised to go back to his people and to invite them towards Islam as well, and to collect zakat from them. And he requested to the Prophet ﷺ that at this particular date, at this particular time, send a collector who will come to my tribe, to my people, so that I can hand over whatever zakat funds that I have collected from my people. Now that time came. So that day came, and no collector showed up. So Harith ibn al-Irad got concerned, thinking that perhaps the Prophet ﷺ was displeased for some reason. Perhaps he was upset at something, which is why he had not sent that person to collect the funds, because it was very unlikely that the Prophet ﷺ would simply not keep a promise. So there must be some reason, something must be going on. It turned out that the Prophet ﷺ had in fact sent Walid bin Uqba to collect the funds. So he had assigned him, he had told him, go collect the funds from the Banu Mustalib, from Harith ibn al-Irad, and bring it back. So while he was on his way, and there's slightly different narrations, but while Walid ibn Uqba was on his way to collect the funds, a thought came to his mind. And the thought was that these people whom I'm going to collect the funds from, these are old enemies of mine. So this tribe, these people, we had some enmity in the past, and perhaps they might try to kill me. So I'm going alone, perhaps I am in danger. According to one narration, he returned to Medina. So he, according to the first narration, he didn't actually go all the way to the tribe, but he turned back, he returned to Medina saying that they had refused to pay zakat and that they wanted to kill him. Other versions say that he did actually go to the tribe, he did go to the Banu Mustalib, who were expecting someone to come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they actually saw that somebody was coming, they got excited and they went out to welcome that person, to show their respect. Now Walid ibn Uqba got afraid when he saw everyone coming out, in his mind, he was concerned already. He suspected that they may have been coming out to kill him on account of those old hostilities. Nonetheless, whatever the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He returned instantly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told him that his suspicion was that they were not willing to pay the zakat and that they wanted to kill him. So this is the news that reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got concerned. He got upset. He didn't understand what was going on. He had sent this person. They had accepted Islam already. This agreement had been made that the person would be sent to collect zakat. What was the issue? Right? Why were they trying to kill him, and why were they refusing to pay zakat? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a group headed by none other than Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu anhu. And he sent them to confront this group, find out what's going on, and if needed, to take care of them. Now on the other hand, Harith and his people, his group, had also left their village, their place, to go meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they didn't know what was going on. Why no one had shown up. On the way, they met one another. So Khalid ibn Walid, Harith ibn Dirar, they met each other, and you know, they asked. He said, "Okay, where are you going?" So he said, "Well, I've been sent." He said, "To whom have you been sent?" He said, "We've been sent for you." And they exchanged, and they said, "Well, you know, this never happened. He never came here." And another narration is said that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu camped outside of the village, and he sent a couple of people inside to find out, to sort of spy and find out what was actually the situation. And he found, or the spies rather found, that people were offering their prayers, and you know, they didn't see anything visibly which was against the teachings of Islam. So he went back and he informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So either that, or they actually had an interaction and they realized that Walid ibn Aqba had never shown up to collect the zakat. And it was at this point, the scholars of tafsir say that the following verse was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. That, O you who believe, if a sinful person brings you a report, O you who believe, if a sinful person brings you a report, verify its correctness, lest you should harm a people out of ignorance, and then become remorseful on what you did. Okay? So verify its correctness, the correctness of the report, lest you end up harming people out of ignorance, and then you become remorseful afterwards on what you did, when of course you realize that the information that you received was wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَتَبَيَّن, right? Verify. Verify its correctness. Make sure that it's backed up with reality. So in cases where there could be harm to others, we must be careful of what news we accept, and especially what we choose to pass on. Now the Sahabi mentioned in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, saying, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٍ, is being referred to as a sinful person. Right? So that particular action, which has been reported, was incorrect and was wrong. Now the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, were not perfect. Right? They were human beings, they made mistakes, and they repented. Right? Our belief is that yes, they were not perfect, they were not angels, of course, they were human beings, the regular human beings, they made mistakes, but they repented after that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now pleased with them all. Right? Because Allah says, radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them all, despite whatever mistakes or shortcomings they may have had in the past. So that's the case for a sahabi, for one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So how about the news and the information that we get today? Right? Sometimes, many times, from people who are openly sinful. Right? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, you know, if he's referring to a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's saying that he was sinful in doing this, so be careful of the news you get, right, from people, then what about those who are openly sinful and are disbelievers as well? So we need to be extremely careful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. It is enough for a man, it is enough lying for a man to speak of everything that he hears. It is enough lying for a man to speak of everything that he hears. And another narration says, it is enough sin for a man to speak of everything that he hears. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, he comments on this hadith and he says that usually a person hears truth and lies. Right? So everything that you hear, that you come across, whether it's in the news media or whether it's what you hear from people, it's not always the truth, of course, we know that. Right? We come across both truth and lies. So he says usually a person hears truth and lies. So if he speaks of everything that he hears, right? So if you go and relate everything that you hear, he is lying by telling of things that did not happen. And lying by speaking of something other than the way it happened, and he does not have to do that deliberately in order to be regarded as telling lies. Right? So he's saying that a person who just hears and repeats and broadcasts and shares everything that he hears and comes across, he is lying by telling of the things that did not happen. Because for sure there will be things which are inaccurate and which are wrong. And he's also lying by speaking of something other than the way it happened. So he's relating something which did not actually happen the way he is relating it to be. And he does not have to do that deliberately. And this is the important part. So if for this hadith to apply to a person and for him to be regarded as telling lies, the person doesn't have to be doing that deliberately. He could simply be relating what he has heard from others, but he would still be considered as telling lies. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he's reported to have said, beware of temptation, right? Beware of fitna for a word or trials, because for a word at the time of fitna could be as devastating as the sword. Right? So beware. When you are in delicate situations, when you are at the time of trials and difficulties and temptations, a word, even one word, a single word at that time, could be as devastating as the sword. Right? So stakes, when the stakes are high, there is the possibility that even one misunderstanding, or even one incorrect word, one incorrect statement, could be devastating to someone. Right? So be very careful about the words that you use, and be very careful about what you relate and what you speak. Hasan al-Basri rahmahullah, he said, the believer reserves judgment until the matter is proven. The believer, what is the quality of the believer? One of the qualities is that he or she reserves judgment, does not pass judgment until the matter is actually proven. So, you know, we come across many things, we see many things, we hear many things on our news feeds. Like I said, whether it's on Facebook or it's your Twitter feed, you come across various articles and newspapers that people are sharing, that you see printed. We watch videos, we're watching news clips, we're sharing so much media, so many things, so much information that's going across. So ask yourself, that all this information that I'm sharing, right, that I'm passing on to others, is this something which I can stand by? Is this something that I can vouch for? Is this something that I can stand by? And especially when it has to do with others and their actions. So when it has to do with other people, when it has to do with other groups of people, and it's negative in nature, so there's accusations, or it says that somebody is doing this, or somebody has done this, ask yourself, can I vouch for this? Can I stand by this? Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala questioned me about this, right? If Allah asks you that you shared this article, you shared this video clip, and it made these types of accusations, or this is the message that it was giving, can you stand by that? Can you answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that, yes, I knew that this was true, or I had seen this, I was 100% sure that this was the case, this is why I shared it. Can you stand by it or not? Because these are reports that people will believe. Right? So most of the time, what's the state of society? So if we read something in a major newspaper, we come across something in the media, we believe it. Right? As if it's true, 100%, most of the time. Right? There's some who won't, but most of the time, people believe it. And then people base their opinions upon that as well. So we read something, we hear something, oh, such and such person has done this. Or, you know, such group of people is doing this and doing that. And we believe it, and then we base our opinions, we formulate our opinions based on that. And sometimes we also make decisions based on those opinions as well. Sometimes you'll find people, and you see this a lot on social media, especially on Facebook, people verbally attacking others. Right? So they'll read about someone that somebody has done something, or a particular group of people is doing something, and they'll start disparaging them, making disparaging comments, and verbally attacking them, speaking against them. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks me, and He says that, okay, you shared this piece of information, you told people about it, Can I stand by it or not? Do I have enough information? Do I know enough about it to make a judgment on that matter? Especially when it is far away. So we hear about things happening in faraway places. Do we know enough about it to be actually saying that, yes, this is what is happening. Yes, such and such person did do this. Such and such group did do that. How much do we really know? Because of course, there's always different groups, always different people with different agendas, right? Always more than two sides or more to a story, right? So be very vigilant and be very cautious. And if we are unsure about something, and it's okay to be unsure, we don't necessarily need to believe every single thing that we come across, whether it's in the media or if somebody tells us, right? It's okay to be unsure. It's okay to reflect. It's good, actually, in fact, to think about things and reflect over them. And take your time to figure things out before you actually formulate an opinion and go around and telling people about it. Right? So if you're going to formulate an opinion, formulate an informed opinion. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have said, "Al-ana'atu min Allah wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan." That patient deliberation is from Allah. Right? This is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages. On the other hand, haste, being hasty and being quick and trying to rush through things is from shaitan. This is one of the qualities or one of the things that shaitan likes to do. So take your time, be patient, deliberate, think, reflect, ponder, and then come up with an opinion. And sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not sure what's happening on the other side of the world. I'm not there to see everything. Right? I don't know all the facts. So I can't comment on it. I don't know. It's better if I remain quiet about it. So my dear brothers and sisters, don't allow yourself to fall into these traps that shaitan sets up, where we are encouraged to rush into judgment, and then we end up passing on information which is unverified by someone who is trustworthy, who is truthful. Now, of course, there's different scenarios. So if you're actually there, if you know someone who is trustworthy, who's actually there and is telling you that, yes, this is this and that is what is happening, then yes, okay, that's fine. Right? As long as you have done some due diligence, some other information has come out that, yes, that is actually the case, then there's no problem. But if you're not sure, if you don't know, and you're just hearing things, and then you're passing that information on, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could actually end up questioning you about that as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from falsehood and its evil effects. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, protect us all from being used to perpetuate falsehood and lies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be fair and to be correct in all our judgments, in our opinions. Ameen wa akhidam alhamdulillah.